Welcome to Stop Wanting Him Back and Find Someone Better, a podcast on healing your heart, authentically falling in love with you, and yes, finding someone better. I'm Claire, the Heartbreak Coach. Let's take your love life and entire life to the next level. Hello, my loves. We are at episode 106, The Difference Between Right and Wrong. So this episode reminds me of an episode I did a while back called, I believe it was called Learning from Your Mistakes. As I've been sharing on recent episodes, I feel like I've been revisiting old topics that I've touched on back in the day, but because I'm constantly committing to getting coached and I'm constantly coaching more and more women on the subject matter of heartbreak and dating and relationships, as well as their relationship with themselves, I grow as a coach because I'm constantly studying their minds and I'm constantly focusing on how I can explain things more simply and more clearly for it all to land in your brain. I've been reminding my clients of this a lot, and it's something that I need to remind myself of, who's currently working with three coaches, is that you have to hear the same thing. I believe that coaching is so much about hearing the same thing over and over and over again until it lands in your brain as your truth. I think I want to do a separate episode on how many times I hear people say this and how many times I say this myself to my own coaches. I intellectually get what you're saying. It's just that I don't actually believe it. And that's why I continue to coach, so that these new, bigger, more expansive beliefs will lead me to my bigger, more expansive results. I know this work works because I am practicing what I preach and reaping the benefits of what I teach all of you. I went from broke as a joke, stuck so deeply in my love life, attracting awful, awful men, some good men, but just unavailable men. One in particular, bona fide narcissistic sociopath. You can check out my episode 5, my heartbreak story, where you can hear all the nitty gritty details of the drama. I was an actress who struggled for years, never believed I was enough, none of it. And I also berated on my body for many years. And I've just done an overhaul on my mind. And because the coaching ended up just being so transformational and powerful to get me to a place of being the most abundant, the most in love with who I see in the mirror at 40 years old, the most in love with a man who exceeds all of my expectations and dreams, and the most creatively fulfilled ever in my life, coaching on this subject matter all day, every day. I very organically fell out of love with acting and in love with coaching. And it got to the point where I was going on auditions and was annoyed that my auditions were interrupting my coaching plans and the action steps that I was taking towards building my business. So I walked away from that very easily. It was just a little bit of a twilight zone because it was what my brain always identified as. That's what this work is really about, is that when you're identifying in an area in one particular way for so many years, this is why we connect the dots to childhood. What's your money story from childhood? If you were told all the time, we don't have enough, we don't have enough, we don't have enough, it's not going to be a coincidence that you feel like you don't have enough now, even if it's not really true, which this is a video that I just added into my program, my one-year group coaching program, Stop Wanting Him Back and Find Someone Better, the same title as this podcast. I use the pronoun him, Freudian slip. I'm so excited about my program. I use the pronoun him because of my own experience as a straight woman, but my message about heartbreak is for every race, gender, religion, and sexual orientation. I simply use the pronoun him because of my experience as a straight woman. However, the coaching program will be for women only, gay, straight, bi. I don't care what your sexual orientation is. It is for women only, as well as transgendered women. So I added 2 videos. So if many of you have been listening to me talking about the course that I have been selling, that will be only available till through the beginning of April, and then that course will go away. I'm taking that course and adding it into my program. That is the only offer I will be putting out to you guys. No more one-on-one coaching, no more course. It is my one-year program. Those of you who currently have the course, you will have the course forever as promised. However, you have an opportunity to deduct the price of the course from the program fee if you join anytime before April 9th, the official launch of the program. The program is also a rolling admission. So you can join on May 9th. It's just those of you who are course students, you won't be able to deduct the price of the course from the program. And you can join anytime, rolling admission. And the sooner that you do join, I'm currently offering all the course students who upgraded to this one-year program early, I'm coaching them 3 times a week on live group coaching calls. So the earlier you join, the quicker you get coached. As for the one-year group coaching program, there will be 3 live group coaching calls a week. Majority of them are coached by me, and there will be guest instructors. I will also be offering something called Ask a Coach, where you get to write in anytime you want and have a coaching question about whatever it is you're moving through and get a response from myself or any of the other amazing coaches that I am bringing on. I do also want to point out that the group coaching container is anonymous. I do this purposefully because I want to protect your privacy. Some of you are in very dangerous, precarious situations. You might not be in physical danger, although some of you have been, I know. You could feel emotionally unsafe and are very protective of your identity. And I'm also not interested in this being a group coaching container for you guys to make friends. Listen, I am a girl's girl. I love my girlfriends more than anything. I have the best girlfriends on the planet. Sorry, I beat you. However, this container is not about making friends. It is not about coaching each other. This is about you taking my coaching and the coaching of my incredible instructors and really elevating yourselves. It's very easy. I've seen it time and time again with my clients even who have been working with me for months. It's easy for them to slip into their victim story. And I don't want you relying on your peers to help you get out of it because they could be in their own victim story. So as much as you think, oh, I'm not going to do that, you'd be surprised. And I just want to I'm nipping it in the bud now and preventing it. You come to this program to learn how to stop wanting Mr. or Miss Wrong back. You come to this program to also create the result of falling in love with yourself on a next level so that you can attract a next level partner. Those are the 3 results that I deliver to you, and you do not need friends in order to make that happen. So some of you are psyched about it. Some of you have been like, wait, why is that? And this is exactly why it will not be changing. I love that it's anonymous. I actually fleshed out this whole program with my business coach. She loves it too. So I'm going to be a stickler about that. Even if you guys figure out who the person is on Instagram, really respect people's privacy too. I've been in a group coaching container that's anonymous and then people reach out and figure out who I am. And maybe I'm showing up just to get coached and not have people reach out to comment on my coaching when it is an anonymous space. So really be respectful of those people. I'm really hitting home on that. And as I mentioned, you'll have access to all of the course videos that are currently in my course, plus new videos. So the 2 new videos I've already added in for the launch this April is a video on your relationship with money and a video on getting closure. So I'm very excited about them. I'm very excited about the program, and you guys should be diving in. Sign up for the course, and you can email my assistant at hello@clairetheheartbreakcoach.com if you want to upgrade early to my program. Okay, the difference between right and wrong. So I hear this happen a lot with my clients. They get really caught up in, what if I mess up in the future in my relationship that pushes my person away? And they really like to look at how they messed up in the past. They did shit wrong in the past. But doing something wrong or messing up is actually a thought. Now, some of you listening right now might be thinking, well, I did mess up. I cheated. I did mess up. I stayed for way too long, even though it was so clear that he was cheating on me. I did mess up because I went over to the other woman's house and I punched her. I don't know. Look, here's what I want you to get clear on. I want you to get clear on what's right and what's wrong for you and own both of those things. I've been sharing openly. I threw a punch or two, I can't remember, 10 years ago at my rock bottom ex. I remember I gave him 1 to 2 punches on the chest when I first discovered he was cheating on me, and I was living with him and he was promising me the future and he was fucking around with a bunch of people. And I wouldn't necessarily say that that was the right thing to do, but I'm also not sitting here beating myself up at how wrong it was for me to raise my hand at him. It was something that I did. I have done the work through it, and it's not something that I'm carrying with me now, or really that I carried with me at the time. I actually went to a therapist who totally shamed me about it, and you hear how I'm owning it and I'm not taking on what a therapist or anyone, it doesn't matter if it was a therapist or a coach, she completely reprimanded me. And looking back, it was just not what I needed to hear at the time. And I very much made it clear to her, listen, I've never in my adult life done something like this. I lost it. I'm in a fucked up place. I've never even been in therapy. Clearly, I have issues and I need help, but I'm here to clean that up. And when we're harping on the wrong all the time, how do we expect to A, heal ourselves, heal over the person, and then get ourselves so good and right in order for us to attract the right person? When we keep focusing on what didn't work and what went wrong, maybe it wasn't even what you did wrong. It's just how things went wrong. Maybe his ex-lover arrived back in town and they had broken up because she moved for a work opportunity, but now she's back and, you know, he decided he wants to give it a go with her again. And you could be like, oh, if only she didn't move back, if only her job kept her there, then we'd be together. No, you were never meant to be together. And that's what I'm getting at is like, you can look back and beat yourself up on all the things you did wrong. I moved in with my narcissistic abusive ex 2 weeks into the relationship. And I had all the evidence. I knew him for a few years. I saw the way he treated his girlfriend prior to me, and it was not good. And I, you know, as he was pursuing me, I confronted him about it. Of course, he gave me all the right things to say. And then he ultimately did the same, if not worse, to me, and the same, if not worse, to the other woman that he was simultaneously dating while he was dating me. So I could look back and be like, I never should have moved in with him in 2 weeks. I saw the writing on the wall of the way he treated his prior girlfriend. Everybody knows that he's a player. What was I thinking? He cheated on me multiple times and I still stayed. What the fuck was wrong with me? These are all the things I did wrong. No. And look, is it easy for me to sit here, Claire the heartbreak coach, serving all the broken hearts? She's now madly in love and she doesn't think anything she's done is wrong. I'm also not saying you should go out and do what I did. I just think when we call it wrong or bad or you shouldn't have, and you know my favorite Byron Katie quote, when you argue with reality, you suffer. So I should have punched him. I should have moved in. I should have stayed as long as I did because that's the exact amount of time I stayed. So every time I argue with that reality, I suffer. I did all those things. It caused me a tremendous amount of emotional pain. It delayed me putting myself out there to find the love of my life. I definitely think it made me question my ability to trust, question my ability to open my heart again. All of it. And so I kept attracting unavailable men. They were all steps up from that fucker, but I kept attracting them because I was in this space of beating myself up and also anticipating that other men would treat me the same because I was so scarred and couldn't imagine what it would be like to be genuinely loved by someone whose words were actual truth that were going to be followed through with action. And so with all of that, I delayed my process of healing instead of owning what I did and also clocking like, hey, Claire, maybe don't move in right away again. Hey, you know, punching isn't exactly the best solution, right? So that's what I love and that's what I offer. And it's something that I stole from my coach, Stacy, is we ask ourselves what worked, what didn't work, and what would I do differently next time? It's not you did good, you did bad. It's not good, bad, right, wrong. It's like, was this the best thing for me to do? Was this serving me? Was this serving that person? Was this serving us? Probably not in hindsight, but it happened. So can I be kind to myself and give myself grace and compassion and pat myself on the back for looking at it in this way, for showing up for the healing and the growth work now, for being willing to look back and analyze the situation and also take responsibility for my part. So I'm certainly not saying you didn't do anything wrong and you have nothing to take responsibility for. 100% take responsibility, but not to the point that then it's going to fuck you up in how you show up in future relationships or how you're showing up presently in your relationship to yourself or presently in your dating life as you're searching for your person. So I've just unpacked how we can label things as right or wrong in the past and how that's going to fuck us up in the present. Now let's move to the present. And I'm inspired by this particular aspect of right or wrong by a client who is questioning everything as she's approaching the dating apps. Like, how do I know who's a good guy, who's not a good guy? How do I know if I'm attracted or I'm not attracted? How do I know if I'm interested or I'm not interested? You know, sometimes people just, there's something off and I'm like, ooh, no, but I don't even know what that is. So how do I know if I'm being right or wrong about it? And I'm like, you could swipe left. I can honestly tell you guys, I'm 40 years old. I spent majority of my 30s alone. I dated on and off, but really I spent majority of the 30s alone. But when I did date, I'm sure I swiped left, meaning swiping no, for those of you who are not familiar with the dating apps. I'm sure I swiped left on multiple amazing men. You will swipe left on multiple amazing men that could really do it for you, that could want the same things you want. Do you think it's wrong to swipe on them? If you do, you are going to create so much more suffering for yourself. I know I swiped left on amazing guys. They weren't supposed to be my guys. Now, I'm also not saying that that means just purposefully swipe left on people you're really into and just trust that he's just going to show up. I just did a podcast episode last week on how thinking positive thoughts isn't always the way to go. And I also don't think the belief of like, and I talk about this on that podcast episode, we can link it up in the show notes. I don't think he's going to just show up is the solution to creating the result that we want. Yes, I want to cultivate belief, but I often hear my clients saying, I just know he's going to show up, but they're also experience a lot of discord in what's happening in their current dating situation. So it's fine if you believe that he's going to show up, if you actually believe he's showing up. But if you're just saying that to make yourself feel better, to tell yourself a better feeling thought, to cover over what you're really not believing, then it's never going to work. So I want you to be conscious when you are swiping. And sure, if you want to sign up for, oh my God, I swiped left, but I actually really did want to check him out, shake your Bumble app. At least that's what that was an option when I was on Bumble over a year and a half ago before I met my guy. You know, have the option if you swipe too fast and you swipe left. But what if there's just something not right about the person and you just, your gut says no. And then, I don't know, maybe later your other single friend swipes on him and they fall madly in love and you're like, damn, I wish I swiped on him. You didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't supposed to be your person. He was supposed to be your best friend's person. You are looking to create the result of finding your person. So if you swiped left on him, he may not be your person, but you're looking for your person. And also, you might think, damn it, I wish that I had jumped on that at the time. Or maybe you were juggling multiple people and you said to him, listen, I'm overwhelmed right now. Can I connect with you in a few weeks if you're still, you know, interested and available? And you were like trying to figure out other people. And then when you show up to him again and he says, actually, I've met someone. That didn't mean something went wrong. It didn't mean you did something wrong. It just meant you weren't meeting each other at the right time. I'm also, the reason why I just hesitated like that, I also don't believe timing is everything, but I guess that's another rainy day conversation or rainy day podcast. It actually was raining a little bit here in Santa Barbara, which is rare. And this Irish girl really appreciates that. Side note. every time you focus on, oh, that went wrong, I did it wrong, if only I did it this way, you create more suffering, and your brain is looking for ways how everything is working against you versus how everything is working for you. And so now I want to talk about how when we anticipate something going wrong in our dating lives in the future. So the same client who's very much inspired this podcast topic, I love when my clients inspire new topics that I think so many of you are also experiencing in your brains, whether you're heartbroken or single and frustrated, or perhaps you're in a relationship that's struggling. But she was talking about how she's afraid she's going to mess up when she meets her person. She was afraid she was going to mess up when she meets her person. First, I asked, well, what does messing up look like? And she couldn't even articulate it. She's like, I don't know. And then I said, well, have you ever messed up in the past? Which, trick question, because as I've just explained on this podcast, you really can't. And she said, no, I haven't. And I said, oh, interesting. You've never messed up in the past. And now you're anticipating messing up with your person. And she said, well, I think what it comes down to is, you know, what if I meet him at a social event and we're talking and I get too shy and I just like run away, or it gets awkward and I don't get his number. And I'm like, then he's not your guy. He wasn't supposed to be your guy. It reminded me of the years that I lived in New York City, and there'd be so many cute guys on the subway or walking on the street or in an audition room where I had so many opportunities to strike up conversation or just say, here's my number, and run. And I would think, oh, why didn't I do that? It would be so badass if I did. Who cares if I never hear from him? I'll probably never see him again. Knowing my luck, I'd probably bump into him wherever I went. But it can't go wrong. If you didn't give him your number, you weren't supposed to, but then you can go back to what worked, what didn't work, what would I do differently next time? Which is, oh, next time I see someone I'm intrigued by, I'm going to give him my number because I'm just going to be ballsy and feel the discomfort and do it if you want to. But also keep in mind, how do you know if you're in a social event and you meet someone, and this is just, you know, I'm throwing out arbitrary examples for you guys. If you meet someone and you're intrigued by him or her and you strike up a conversation, but you never get the ball rolling about exchanging numbers, or you kind of freak out and you get awkward and you're like so into the person that you actually freak out and kind of go, okay, bye, which I've totally done. You could be kicking yourself about, oh, why didn't I give him my number? Or why didn't I make that happen? Or why did I get out of the conversation because I felt like it was so obvious I liked him? You know, you could be beating yourself up on that, but then it's also like, you still don't know he's your person. How would you know? It's just someone that you're attracted to that's like, oh, I would have liked to have seen that further. But you have no idea if that person was going to be your person. Now, another great point she brought up was how she can feel a little bit shy or not know what to do with awkward silences. And she's afraid that if she's not herself, let's say it's a Bumble date and they get out there and, you know, she doesn't feel like she's showing her best self to her person, right? And I think it's interesting because she's like, oh, if I'm not my best self to my person. And I'm like, honey, he's not your person if he's not into all of you. He's not your person if he's not into all of you. Your person, if you're a little bit socially awkward or shy and nervous, which, by the way, who isn't on a first date? I mean, some of us, I'm a very outgoing person and I've been so used to being on, having auditioned thousands of times for years. It's just my personality to be like, hi, I'm Claire. How are you? Right? That's a muscle that I've worked over and over and over again. So I can carry a conversation and make things not awkward, but I feel nervous at times when I've been on first dates, right? I think if you're interested in someone, the nerves kind of kick up. That definitely happened with my boyfriend. I also know what it's like to be on the other side where I'm not that nervous, or let me correct that. I could be nervous, but I still can get over my nerves and act normal. And I'm putting that in air quotes because who knows what acting normal is. But there are definitely guys who I noticed that they were nervous. Am I going to write him off because I'm noticing that he's nervous or he doesn't really know what to say? Or am I going to do my best to make him feel comfortable because there's something about him that I find really intriguing? I can ask him about something on his profile or whatever it is. And maybe if there's enough there, I'm willing to go to date two or maybe date three to see if he'll loosen up a little bit and get a little bit more comfortable, because this whole meeting each other on the internet thing is a little bit awkward. But my guy is going to bust through that awkwardness with me, and I'm going to bust through the awkwardness with the right person. So it's interesting because she's already deciding, and I think probably a lot of you listening right now can relate to, okay, I'm doing this work on me. I've really healed to how I showed up in my past relationships, and I'm creating this loving relationship with myself that Claire talks about all the time on the podcast or in her course that I'm taking. And I'm really getting clear on the person that I want to attract. But oh my God, when we meet, like, is he really going to like me? Yes, because he's your person. And something that I cannot take credit for, but my dear friend Jamie, who I've had on the podcast a few times, and I don't know if she can take credit for it, but she reminds me of this all the time, is that you can't say or do the wrong thing with the right person. You cannot say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing with the right person. You could say something really awkward. You could totally overshare. You could maybe get a little too aggressively interested on the first date and say something like, I really like you. Do you really like me? Are we going to run off into the sunset together? The right person won't freak out about that. I'm also not encouraging you to say that on the first date. So you've got to decide what's right and what's wrong for you. If there's someone who you're interested in, and you show up as you, or maybe you're not even fully yourself yet because you're a little bit uncomfortable or you like him so much. I was so fucking nervous before I met my boyfriend. So nervous. And I self-coached right before the date. I did an inquiry with my brain to calm the nerves, but the nerves didn't go away. I don't make my clients show up on dates nerve-free. That's bullshit. Especially if there's been a buildup and you're really genuinely interested and it's been a while since you've been on a really great date and you just feel like, ooh, something's different here. And that's what I felt like. And all of a sudden I had all of these pressurized thoughts. And I actually lost my words. Talk about awkward silences. I was just saying to you guys, oh my God, I'm pretty good at holding my own. That's actually a lie. I'm just realizing. With Larry, I got so quiet because I was so taken aback when I met him. It was like, whoa. And he opened the car door for me and I got in and I just like let him talk because I was just like, I can't find my words, right? He didn't notice. And even if he did notice, I know he wouldn't have cared because we had a lovely enough exchange. He really liked my profile and he appreciated that I was showing up to Santa Barbara. I drove over 2 hours to come meet him. And there was enough there that if I'm a little bit shy or can't find my words for a minute, or maybe I share too much. I did share a personal story with him that I think he was a little like, it wasn't on the first date, but it was pretty early on. And he was like, you know, you need to get over that, right? Which I loved because he was being so real with me. And I was like, oh, this guy is going to totally challenge me in the best way. He could have taken that story that I shared with him and been like, ugh, this girl is not for me. Would that mean that I did something wrong? Fuck no. It would mean he's not my guy. And it doesn't also mean he's a dick. It's just, oh, wow. Okay. That's some good information. That kind of gives me pause. Like, I really needed to know what his history was, why he was divorced with four kids, or actually wasn't even officially divorced with four kids. I needed to know that story. Depending on how the story unfolded, I was going to have a judgment and figure out whether or not this person seemed like the right fit for me. And some of you listening who are divorced with kids might be like, whoa, well, what's that about? Who are you to judge? It's not that I'm judging someone. Obviously, I'm in love with a man who's divorced with kids. I don't have a problem with that, but I want to know your story. I want to know how you healed from it, if you're healed from it, how you've grown from it, what's going to be different about our relationship, right? It doesn't mean that whatever he says or said was going to be wrong or right. It's just, is this person for me or is this person not for me? And I think when we're labeling things as good versus bad and right versus wrong, and I'm going to mess up and I'm not going to say or do the right thing, you can't say or do the wrong thing with the right person. And so what really came up for my client, and I think the big takeaway from our session just earlier this morning is, well, you're getting so good at loving on you and you think you're fun and amazing and smart and intelligent and generous and huge-hearted and thoughtful and great and would make a great partner. And you have this very clear idea of who he is, but the disconnect is you think he wouldn't want you. So we did a little bit of investigating. Well, is there something about you that you don't think is that great? And she was like, no, I actually really do think I've come a long way and I've done all this work and I really do think, so I'm confused. And I was like, oh, here's the nugget. You're just in your brain that your guy may not want you, but that's impossible. Your guy is going to sign up for all of you. That's where the belief comes in. You can believe he exists or she exists and think about all the qualities that he or she has that make you just go, yes, please. And I get into all of that in my course and furthermore in my program about really getting clear on what are the qualities you're looking for and why? Why they're important? I think sometimes we just automatically decide what we think we want without really deeply fleshing that out. And then she's really clear on why she loves herself and thinks she's amazing, but she has to know that the person who is her person also thinks that. And there's nothing wrong you can say that would push him away. You've just got to focus on being you. You might say some things that you second guess because you're a human and say, oh, was that too much? Should I have just held back on that one? Maybe I shouldn't have shared as much as I did. Totally normal. I totally second guessed things that I said to the love of my life now. But I really see love as taking on the whole person. There are ways that Larry and I are not similar. I think of myself as a neat person and a clean person, but he puts my neat and clean to shame. They're just going to be little things. And I know that I'm just using some arbitrary, silly thing, but we also have different viewpoints about things. We're on the same political side of things. But when we're talking about documentaries we've watched and he's like, I don't see it that way. I see it this way. And I'll be like, how do you not see it this way? Right? We challenge each other. And I think it keeps us on our toes. And I like that he's authentically him. And I respect him as an intellectual human being. And he respects me. And we have interesting, challenging conversations. But if we disagree, or he's like, I don't understand how you see something that way, whether it's about what we're watching on TV or we're having an argument, the right person is going to stay with me and choose all of me and not use one thing that I said or one habit that I have and label it wrong and push me away. And I love myself too much now after all this work that I've done on myself, where maybe I would be, I think I would have automatic thoughts like, oh no, if only I was like this, if my boyfriend was to break up with me, because I think, again, that's very human. But I have the tools now to know, wait a second, I am just perfectly, imperfectly me. And the right person is someone that I can't say or do the wrong thing to. Now, again, that doesn't mean relinquish responsibility and just be an asshole to that person. Don't be a deliberate asshole. But know that when you're showing up as your best self, but sometimes you're tired and sometimes you're cranky and sometimes you're stressed, or maybe you have drama about something that the other person doesn't understand. I know that happens in my relationship. Larry's like, why is this a big deal? This shouldn't be a big deal. And I'm like, it's a big deal. But he loves all of me. And the stuff that makes his eyes roll at me, he loves, and vice versa. I'm really conscious of like putting things back a certain way. And I'll be like, oops, excuse me. And he'll die laughing because he knows I'm making fun of him about where shit should go. Whereas like, I would just leave it there and not think it was a big deal in whatever way I left it. So I'm just, again, using these arbitrary examples, but really at the end of the day, for your perfect person in your result, and I don't mean perfect because he's a perfect human or she's a perfect human, just perfect for you. They are not going to write you off because you said or did something wrong. The only person that would be thinking that is you, and you get to decide what's right or wrong for you. You don't think it's wrong based off of someone else's reaction. I'm going to say it again. You don't think it's wrong based off of somebody else's reaction. Decide for yourself. And maybe someone writes you off in the future because you said something that was dumb or stupid or mean or bitchy, right? Maybe. But your person isn't going to leave you for that. Maybe you could say, I know that was bitchy. I say that to my partner all the time. I know that was a little fiery. Sorry, babe. I take it back. Right? It's not about, no, I'm perfect and he just needs to accept and love all of me no matter what comes out of my mouth or what I do. No. But the result that I'm coaching my clients to create is their ideal partner. And that ideal partner is accepting and loving all of you, whether there are some parts he doesn't get or she doesn't get and doesn't like, but they're signing up for the whole person just like you are signing up for the whole person. So no right or wrong, good or bad. It doesn't have to be black and white. You don't have to torture yourself like that. Be easy and kind to yourself and decide what's right for you and give yourself the grace and the space and the compassion to quote unquote make mistakes and say things you didn't mean because you're a freaking human. And humans who say or do the quote unquote wrong things or something that rubs the wrong way someone else deserve just as much love. And I say just as much love, but just deserve all the love. Everybody deserves love, except for narcissistic sociopaths who have no feelings and take zero responsibility and have no conscience about what they do to people. Loaded thought much for you guys? Way to wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening, my loves. Until next time. Bye. My love. Have you received my How to Stop Wanting Him Back in 3 Steps video? If not, subscribe to ClaireTheHeartbreakCoach.com/subscribe. Not only will this free video go straight to your inbox, but you'll be the first to know about my latest brand new, very exciting offer coming this April.